Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is the fourth podcast of the Sects and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's topic is going to be the early history of Christianity, with the specific emphasis on how Christianity started to fracture into the various forms that we know today. It's a very interesting story, and although I'm not really an expert on church history, one thing that you learn very quickly when you start to study this is just how little people really do know about the early origins of Christianity and other religions, really. It's amazing how much variety there is in Christianity. According to recent studies on the subject, there are 38,000 different varieties of Christianity in the world today. Now, stop and think about that huge number, 38,000. It's a really amazing number of denominations and viewpoints on what Christianity is. I think it's really a common fallacy for people to think that Christianity splitting into different factions and denominations is a fairly recent thing. After all, we talk on this website about sects and violence in the ancient world. Well, the ancient world includes early Christianity, and early Christianity started to split from the very beginning. We inherit Christianity today, for the most part, in the Western world, from traditions that have been in existence for either hundreds or maybe even a couple thousand years. So our traditions are fairly old. But what we don't realize is that early Christianity had this concern with maintaining a unity, or at least an apparent unity, that would give it a kind of believability that other religions didn't have in its day, at least as the early Christians perceived it. It is probably best to think of Christianity as being a set of religious beliefs that were viewed in different ways by different groups from the very beginning. And probably the first real split that occurred in Christianity, although it's not an official split, was the division between the Gnostics and the traditional, what we'd call, Orthodox Christians. What that means is that there were different groups that both identified themselves as Christians, or two major groups that identified themselves as Christians. There may have even been more. We don't know, because we don't have full records of the ancient world. But we do know that the Gnostics, who were responsible for such documents as the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Judas that was so much in the news a few months ago, these kinds of documents were written by groups of people who thought of themselves as being Christians, but they were actually looking at things from quite a different perspective from what came to be known as Orthodox Christianity, or the form of Christianity that won out in the end, the winners, if you will. Gnosticism was really suppressed for a long time, and it never really died out, and it actually comes back in some very surprising ways if you stop to look at the history of Christianity, because it's still around today. It's not a huge group of people, and it's not as strong as, say, the Roman Catholic Church or any of the major denominations, but it still exists. So Gnosticism and what we might call Orthodox Christianity were examples of the earliest varieties that started to split off in Christianity. Now, one of the reasons for this is that we don't really think of the ancient world in the same terms that we think of today's world, because they had no mass communication, no long-distance communication that was an effective way to keep in touch with everybody else. So stop to think about it this way. You've got a group of people who are Christians living in, say, Jerusalem, another group, say, living in Antioch or Damascus, a few hundred miles away. They don't have regular communication, and as they start to do things their own way, which is natural because they're separated by a distance, then they start to do things differently than each other. And when they finally get together, or representatives of these groups finally get together, they say, you do it differently than we do. We do it the right way. And the other group says, no, we do it the right way. And then this leads to what might be considered a schism or a break in the church tradition. So it actually started at the very beginning. And the first major break that took place is normally understood to be the split between Orthodox Christianity and Roman Catholicism, or the split between Eastern and Western Christianity. That took place around about the 11th century. Now, it's not the first major split, though. And again, it's one of those perception issues, because we in the Western world tend to think of Christianity as being Roman Catholic as normative Christianity and all the other groups are splitting off. And if you were to go strictly by the numbers, that would hold true. Current estimates are that that Roman Catholicism or various branches of Catholicism have about 1.2 billion adherents throughout the world. Now, that's a lot of people. That's a huge percentage of the population of the world. So about 1.2 billion people associated with Catholicism. So we tend to think of it as normative. But the other groups that are out there actually have large numbers of adherents too. They're not as big as Catholicism, but Christianity wasn't nearly that monolithic from the beginning. One of the first splits that took place actually took place in the 5th century as opposed to the 11th century. And it took place on the basis of theological issues concerning Christology, the belief in who Jesus Christ was. And the early church started to debate the nature of Christ. And some of these issues are very, very minute and very, very detailed, and I don't even understand their concerns. The concerns that they tended to have were things like, was Christ fully human or fully divine? Did Christ have one nature or two natures, a human nature and a divine nature? Was Jesus of the same substance with God the Father, or was Jesus a separate substance? Issues like that were very big issues early on. They were settled for the mainstream church, and what we might just for simplicity's sake say the Catholic Church, by a council that met in Chalcedon around the year 450 or thereabouts. They came up with the standard, what we think of as the standard Christian solution to these questions that is still today adhered to in most Western versions of Christianity. Now, at that point, in the 5th century, these groups split off from teachings about the nature of Christ in that they believed that Christ had one nature as opposed to two. And these groups, in their minds, were not splitting off from Roman Catholicism because they were the true church, and their belief was that the Western church didn't really exist in those terms in those days, but the Western church was splitting off from the true faith. These groups are what are today known as the Oriental Orthodox churches, and there are a number of them. There are a large number of people in the Oriental Orthodox tradition in those families of Christianity. We tend to not think about them because most of them are ethnic versions of Christianity that exist primarily as groups within their own countries, within their own national boundaries, that sort of thing. And so they don't have a lot of adherence in other parts of the world. But those parts of Christianity continue to exist. And when people from the West have discovered or rediscovered those versions of Christianity, it looks strange and exotic and foreign to them because it doesn't resemble Roman Catholicism that much. So it's very different. But these churches go back to the splits that were taking place when the early church was meeting together, trying to sort out the nature of Christ and how all of that fits together. Now, along about the 11th century, there was a big split in Christianity, and the big split was between Eastern and Western Christianity. Again, each side assuming it was right. Nobody believes a religion assuming it's wrong. I mean, it's just not the way people are. They assume their religion is right. And so the Eastern and Western groups split apart. Eastern Christianity is what we'd now normally call Eastern Orthodoxy in this part of the world. And for the most part, when we talk about Eastern Orthodoxy, we mean either Greek or Russian Orthodox, but there are a number of varieties of Orthodox churches in those regions of the world. There's Bulgarian Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox, even Albanian Orthodox. And they're all what we call autocephalous churches. What that means is that they are recognized as having their own head. So they don't have like a pope who's in control of all the Orthodox churches. Each of these varieties recognizes the leaders of the other varieties as being the one that's in charge. They have no authority over them. The Russian patriarch has no authority over the Greek church. The Greek church has no authority over the Russian church. Several of these churches are actually in communion. They accept the teachings of the others in their groups. Not all of them. There are some that mutually exclude each other as well. But some of these varieties of Christianity actually exist side by side with separate leaders, and they do not have a single head who is in charge of all of Orthodoxy. And that's one of the big differences between the way the Orthodox Church is set up and Roman Catholicism. The way that these churches split is, again, another perceptual issue on our part, because we tend to think of the church as being a uniform group of people who say, we all believe in Jesus, therefore we are all Christians. In actual fact, that's not the way the church grew. The church grew through a process of conversion, and they converted people who were believers in other religious traditions that lived very far from each other. So again, it's a communication issue. And so as missionaries would move out into various parts of the world and they would work on converting various people, those people tried to tie the religion into their culture. And the church actually encouraged that. They did not try to make them abandon their culture. They simply wanted them to believe the right things. And so as these people began to develop their own ways and systems of belief, they were close enough in the essentials that they were not split off from the Orthodox groups. So the Orthodox Christians accepted them as equals, or at least as true believers, but they were slightly different. Now, when it came to important issues, really important issues, or even sometimes what seems to us to be less important issues, they would sometimes actually get very concerned about that and have major arguments about it and split off from each other. And so the splintering took place in two different ways. One was just the way that Christianity was growing, that is, traveling into new areas and getting converts from new areas. But at the same time, these converts living in different geographical regions, coming even among themselves to different opinions or conclusions about things, when they get together, splitting apart because they don't agree with each other. So it's the nature of people who live in a world that doesn't have any form of long-distance communication that's reliable on a steady basis to split apart when they don't see things the same way, because it doesn't take very long before you start to develop your own variety or your own flavor, your own taste of what Christianity is. And so these groups tend to split off from each other. Orthodoxy, like Protestantism, has a wide variety of communions, fellowships, groups of Christians that either get along or don't get along. It's just like, in many ways, just like Protestantism. There are varieties of Orthodox churches that tolerate one another remarkably well, and they realize that they have similarities, more maybe similarities than differences, and so they can get along quite well with each other. At the same time, there are also Orthodox churches that can't see eye to eye and completely disagree with other people who are also Orthodox. In that sense, Orthodoxy as a title for Christianity is probably a little bit of a misnomer, because they're not really all believing the same thing, although that's mostly what Orthodox implies. The divisions between these various forms of Orthodoxy, even early on in the church, were quite often hostile. So the adherents of various groups simply could not see eye to eye, and they considered the differences to be so substantial and the outcomes to be so important that they could not accept that these other groups were truly Christian at all. And so what you end up getting is people who would really much rather not even be associated with the others because they believe that they've gone down the wrong way. Now, the reason for this, we're not really sure exactly of why this happened, but you have to remember that Christianity is an experiment with monotheism. And monotheistic religions have a concern that they are indeed upholding the right teaching, because if they're not, there's a problem here. One God should have one way of being worshipped, one way of teaching people how to believe and such. All of this should be uniform, and it's not. And so they have to deal with the fact that there's an expectation of uniformity that doesn't really exist. So these groups are trying to uphold, trying to be the guardians of the true teaching. And anybody who is disagreeing with them is more than just an annoyance. They're an actual danger, because they're going to be going out and trying to convert other people to their way of looking at things, which is not the way that we look at things, and therefore it is wrong, and not only wrong, but potentially very harmful. So these varieties of Christianity that existed in the early centuries of the church did take very seriously the concern to have everybody believing the same way if they could. And so that was what they were trying to do. These various groups didn't always agree with one another, as I say, but there were groups among these early Christians who saw that their differences were less severe than other groups. Let me give you an example from Orthodox Christianity as it exists today. There are groups of Orthodox Christians who believe in, as I say, the one nature of Christ. And these groups were traditionally called Monophysites, a word that means one nature. And they now reject that term because it's considered a pejorative term. They prefer to be called Miaphysites today, and that's normally what they're called. Some examples of this church are the Coptic Church in Egypt, the Coptic Orthodox Church, or Egyptian Orthodox Church, the Copts, and the Syriac Orthodox Church, which exists largely in southeastern Turkey, but in some parts of maybe northern Syria as well, but mostly in Turkey. These two groups both believe the same basic principle of the one nature of Christ, and they are friendly with each other. If a Copt and a Syriac Christian get together, they are chummy with each other because they have more in common than other groups. Now, at the same time, there is another group that's called the Church of the East. That is their preferred title today, the Church of the East. They're also known sometimes as the Assyrian Orthodox Church. This group disagrees with them, with the Copts and the Syriac Church, about various issues, and do not like to be grouped together with them. They tend to see their split from the heterodox form of Christianity as taking place earlier even than the Council of Chalcedon. They tend to see their split taking place, or Christianity splitting away from the true teaching, all the way back at the Council of Ephesus, which was 20 years before Chalcedon. And so these groups see themselves as not being of the same theological outlook. Interestingly enough, today, as these groups are sitting down again and the ecumenical movement started in the last century and people started talking very seriously about the widespread splintering in Christianity and decided to start talking about ways that maybe we could start to get back together, looking for common ground. And when they did that, a number of these groups started to realize that maybe the issues that separated them early on were actually mistranslations, because these councils were often held either with Latin or Greek speakers doing the talking, if you will. And many of these Orthodox churches had representatives who, yes, they could speak the language, but their native language was something different, Syriac or later forms of Aramaic and other languages that were current in that part of the world. And so they when they were trying to sort out these fine, very delicate issues about the nature of God and the substance of God and all that, they were talking about what we might think of as in almost scientific terms today, you know, how a scientist would be very precise about describing how something's happening. They were trying to do that with theological stuff, but in different languages from each other, and often misunderstood each other. So during the last couple of decades, these ecumenical groups were getting together saying, you know, we've got more in common than we have different from each other, and maybe we should be looking at whether or not this was a mistranslation of the text of what was going on at the time, the subtext that they were talking about. A lot of these groups now feel more friendly towards each other and are saying, so maybe we should be back in communion with one another. But this isn't by any means common to all of Orthodoxy. In fact, there are many, many groups within Orthodoxy that don't see eye to eye. That's a little bit counterintuitive at first, because when you stop to think about it, Orthodoxy means right teaching. And so the people who believe in these faith traditions, by definition, believe that they are the right teaching of the church of Christianity, and therefore, by definition, others are wrong. That fits particularly well with a religion that grew, as I mentioned earlier, out of an Orthodox belief system where things are unified and monistic and have one outlook. Do other religions also have this phenomenon of splintering and turning into other groups? Sure, yeah, they do. Judaism, Islam, all the major religions split into various groups over time. The splits maybe aren't as radical as they seem in Christianity, and there's probably a reason for that, but unless a religion was started yesterday, which it may have been, had new religions come all the time, it probably has splinter groups. Most religions break down into individual sections. That particularly happens in the Western world, and a large part of that is because in the Middle East, where these religions, such as Orthodoxy or other forms of traditional religion started, society tends to be much more inclined to think of people as part of a larger group, a collective, and so they are not as individually based as we are in the Western world. So when we think of religion, we tend to think of religion as rather like a shopping place, where we go to find what we're looking for. In the Western world, we're very individualistic, and so our religions reflect that. Our religions reflect the fact that we can find the exact variety we want, the exact way we want it, at the price we want to pay. And so we think of religion very much like a marketplace. If you don't like the church that you go to another. You buy a different brand. That's a distinctly Western phenomenon, as opposed to what we find in other parts of the world, even in Christianities in other parts of the world. And so, as we continue to explore this topic of how religions break and split apart into various sects over time, we'll come back to this issue of the Western world because, in its own right, the story of how Christianity split into its multiple factions, its thousands and thousands of factions in the Western world, is a story that's going to take some time to unpack.